Positive Mind coming up. It is 1 p.m. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, Kev O'Donoghue and Ben Starr back with you with the Positive Mind, bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And today we have a fun show. We're going to be talking about the unconscious today. We talked yesterday about attraction, and last week we talked about appearance, and that, you know, the mind works so quickly that we make judgments of people and people who are appropriate for us, who we're attracted to, within an estimated 3 seconds of meeting them and seeing them. And that certain things they can do can make us attracted to them or stay with them even longer. So we're going to talk a little bit about what goes on underneath or in the background of this very active mind that we all share, we all have, to try and find out how we can become closer and more connected to people.
That's right, Kevin.
People we choose to have in our lives. And so
it really makes you think about how people discuss the concept of first impressions being so important.
Yeah.
Right?
And you only have one chance to make a first impression.
In a way, it's true. In a way.
It is true.
Because we see people and we're instantly analyzing and judging them whether they would be a potential mate, a potential friend, a potential business associate. So we are making that judgment call early and often.
And sometimes we say, should I have actually overridden my initial judgment? Oh, I knew he wasn't right for me. I should have not gone out with this guy because I had that first impression. And they always say, trust your first impressions. They'll lead you to where you need to go. So have you ever had that experience? Have you had an experience where you overridden your impression and somehow found yourself caught up in a situation that, gosh, it just wasn't going to work out. There was no way. So the unconscious is smarter and wiser than often our conscious mind. And we want to talk about this today. We really want to talk about the unconscious, and we want to hear from you. So yesterday I put out this idea that we're attracted to people in our significant relationships, people who share a common wound, a common deficit, a common problem. And that time and time and time again, you know, it's not actually that they're a good dresser. It's not that, you know, he's got a good job. It's not that, you know, she is a good cook. All sorts of variables that we think might be the reasons we're with a person. It's actually because there's something underlying that's not here in the moment that I can identify with. Identify beyond words. It's almost like we have a magical connection. And so for people, the research has shown, often stay in relationships with people that they have this deep connection to, an unspoken connection to, a kind of wound. It's almost, you know, yesterday, Ben, you were saying opposites attract or like to like.
Right, yeah, the idea of what was more important and what was more influential, the idea of opposites attract,
right,
or the idea that like attracts like.
Yeah, and we're going to go even one further. Wound attracts wound. If you have something missing in you, you are looking for somebody to match that up with. I want to find somebody who's wounded like me, and you might not even know what your wound is. I mean, you might have grown up in an abusive environment, in a neglectful environment, even a happy environment, but something was missing. Mom wasn't connected to dad. You know, the TV was on all the time. There was too much eating going on in the house. You know, food was used as a comfort. Whatever it is, you have that in your body and sense, okay, I want to fix this. I want to find somebody who has a similar wound. So, you know, we talked yesterday about, why would a person stay in an abusive relationship? You know, why? And why, yeah, why would somebody stay when they're being physically abused and it's actually showing up on them?
Familiarity.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah. Familiarity.
Because then when the person who may have experienced a childhood with an alcoholic father, they then become attracted to the alcoholic, not in a physical way, but the behaviors are familiar. Yeah. Right? The way this person comports themselves is familiar.
Yeah. But there's also something else, Ben, and it's, I deserve this. Because you wouldn't put up with it if you didn't on some level think that you deserved it. You know? So on some level, if you grew up in an environment where you were not safe or you were not treasured or not encouraged or, you know, you were basically neglected, you're walking around feeling like I'm not worthy anyway. Oh, I deserve to be physically abused. So we're not saying that, you know, when you talk to somebody who is actually in a crisis, who has actually been abused, that you tell them just, you know, leave the guy. No, it's not that simple. Because it's time to find out, well, what, you know, what is your motivation? What's really the cause? How is it you stay with him? Often people think that they can rescue the person who's actually abusing them. That's what they're finding, you know. When it's all said and done, I thought I could help him. I thought I could fix him. I wanted to help him or her.
Save them.
I wanted to save them.
Yeah.
You know.
Such a common thing.
Such a common thing. Actually, you know, when relationships are missing so many things, the final thing is at least I can maybe help them. Yeah. You know, and so that's a testimony really to our nature, our kindness, our goodness, humanity, you know, does have this feeling, this longing, this ability really to connect to other people. And even if it's from a negative perspective, I think I can help him. I always thought I'd be able to change him. I always thought I'd get him to love himself. So we're adding this concept, not like to like, but wound to wound. And I know it's hard to try to really imagine this. It takes a lot of courage to really look at this. We're not just saying this because, you know, we're trying to be positive-minded people, you know, and we have this radio show. We're saying this because this is what the research is showing, and that when you're brave enough to recognize everything's not perfect, it's not as I want it to be, but I'm hanging in there out of loyalty, kindness, because that's my nature, that's how I was raised, and all those things, you're not getting what you could get. So starting by asking, why do I put up with this, is really the start of really getting in touch with what it feels like to be in love and loving somebody. So what I want today, I said we had a few callers that I promised we would get to today, and we want them to call us back at 212-757-5555. I'm Kev O'Donohue here with Ben Starr at The Positive Mind. 212-757-5555 on WBAI, of course. Only WBAI would let us talk about this wound-to-wound idea, because WBAI has a mission to heal the world, and we are doing our part to try and help people identify, you know, the things that people don't like to look at and often don't have a chance to look at. And today, we're inviting you to look at, for instance, what frustrates you? We're going to start with this.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday, and I was looking forward to hearing more about this, Kevin. And this is one of those exercises, I think, that we can all do together. So if you're listening at home or at the office, grab a pencil, a piece of paper, something to write with, because we're going to do this together.
Yeah, I think it's great. Because we're also going to add a sixth column here that we're going to ask people to try and figure out. What's the sixth column? So we're starting with frustration.
Wait. I got to draw. I have my pen and pad right here.
You got your pen and pad.
So you want me to draw a column?
I want you to draw. You're going to be making six columns across a page.
Okay.
So start at the top of the page.
So I'm going to hold the page the wide way.
Exactly. Wide way. And so, right.
Yeah. If you're at home, make sure that you're holding your pen and paper the wide way. And we're going to make six columns going the wide way across the paper. When I was in school, I remember as a kid, when they'd say fold the paper in half, you'd say hot dog or hamburger, right?
Really?
Yeah. So this is the wide way is hamburger, the skinny way being hot dog.
Okay. Well, we want it the hamburger way.
Okay. So
frustration.
This column one is frustration.
Right. Column one is frustration. Column two is feeling. Column two is feeling.
Okay.
Column three is thought.
Okay.
Column four is my reaction.
Reaction?
Mm-hmm. Column five is fear.
Okay.
And column six, we're gonna leave open and ask people what their opinion is going to be to fill that. In addition to the other question, which is going to be, Why do you put up with it? What is frustrating about your current partner or your past partners? And is there some consistency?
You know what? We're going to give our listeners just an extra 10 or so seconds to go ahead and grab that pencil and paper. So here's just an opportunity for you to do that while we wait for you briefly.
Hola, estás escuchando The Positive Mind. Solo aquí en WBAI 99.5, cada martes y miércoles a las 1 p.m.
All right, hopefully you got your pen and paper, and we're ready to continue this exercise for you. We have the paper out the wide way. We are 5 columns wide with a 6 column.
Frustration.
So go ahead and check that out. We are with you today. We are just doing this exercise with these columns. So first one being frustration, second one being feeling,
right.
Third one being thought, reaction, and fear. So walk me through this.
Okay, Kevin. So we want a behavior that your partner does that really annoys you. So lateness, right?
That's mine, yeah, when you asked me what was right.
What's
so for
wrong?
Me, it's not being on time.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel that's a major disrespect. It's very frustrating for me when other, not just romantic, significant others, just in general when people don't have the respect to be timely.
So there's the behavior from other people. It's frustrating that they're late for me. And what's the feeling that you have?
When people are late?
Yeah.
I'm frustrated and angry.
You're angry.
Yeah.
That's a feeling. Anger is a feeling. Yeah. So you're frustrated, you're angry, and what thought goes with that anger?
I think this person doesn't value me or my time. So I
think it kind of does go right there, doesn't it?
They don't respect me. They don't value me enough to be on time.
Yeah, and I think lateness, so many people can really identify with this. It's almost like a violation, you know? You don't value my time. I'm not that important to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean anything, really. So those are the three. We're starting lateness. The feeling is anger. The thought is I'm not valuable to you, or I'm not worthy. And my reaction. What do you do, Ben, when somebody's late for you? Besides get angry. I mean, how do you react to the thought that I'm not worthy?
You know, I think that it's one of the things that pushes me to my worst self, right? And I'm not proud of it, but I think I become a little spiteful and a little judgmental and upset in terms of the way I react with that individual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very honest, man. Very honest. That's terrific because I'm coming up with another idea that goes with this. But that's very, very honest. I become spiteful. I become judgmental. I retaliate, right? So I retaliate. And then finally, what's your big fear behind I'm not valuable? I'm not worthy?
I suppose the big fear would be that, hey, maybe it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's true. And what do you feel when you think maybe it's true?
It's a sad feeling. It's a small feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can hang in there with that feeling, really hang in there with it, you'll be ready for our last column.
Okay.
The sixth column. So we're going to ask you, yes, what do you think is the sixth column? And we're going to ask you later to look at your current relationships and your past relationships. And see if there's a common denominator. Are you with a woman that's always late and have always dated women that are late or women that take a long time to say goodbye at a party or a guy who, you know, is always late coming home from work? I mean, has that been your story in relationships? And the question becomes, well, why do you put up with it? What does this frustration lead to? What is the feeling? What is the thought? How do you react to it? What's your fear behind it? And then we're going to get to this last column. So look at your relationship. 212-757-5555. 212-757-555. We had Janine call yesterday, and she wanted to call back. We had a few other people who wanted to call back and tell us about this frustration. And here it is. We're trying to help you get in touch with this unconscious part of you that is kind of ruling how you are with partners. And what I was going to say, Ben, and we have calls coming in, what I was going to say, Ben, is when people react a certain way, like you say you get spiteful, you know, that's where addiction happens.
How so?
Because you can be spiteful in a lot of ways, and if you can't get back at this person, you take it out on yourself. So the rage becomes so unbearable that I'm going to act out. I'm going to take it out on me, on myself. And so you never – and what happens is that you'll go out, you know, doing your thing and become, you know, unreliable and disappearing, and you'll never get to the fear that is behind what you're doing. And this is what leads to addiction. You know? Yeah. So we're really looking for help today. We're looking for you because I have a second graph that I want you to do. It's actually three, and we're going to post this on thepositivemindcenter.com. You can download it for yourself later on. But we need your help here today. We want honest people who really are able to look inside and check, what am I feeling when I'm frustrated with my mate? What is it that they do? We're looking for behaviors that they do that frustrate you. And we're going to see what it is that makes you put up with it. Because maybe it's very familiar. And yesterday we talked about familiarity, that people stay in relationships because it's familiar. And there's more there. Because the person who's putting you through this, they have a wound too, and they want to heal. They want this fixed also. And you have the chance. We have Janine on the line. Janine, you called back. Hello. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're glad you called back. So you now know where we're going with all this, right?
Well, yeah, I was getting the stuff. You had asked me to put down qualities and negatives of my husband and my first husband.
Yes.
So that I have. But now with the sixth thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you,
What does he do that frustrates you?
What did he do the first time? Oh, my God, you don't even go there. Anyway.
Give me one. Just one
thing.
Well,
messy.
He's messy. Okay.
You know, keep the bowl up. I mean, just on and on and on.
Right.
Sabotages my health.
So I want to help you, Janine. I want you to go into feelings because you have a great argument with him. You have all the good stuff on him. So he can't win. But I want you to feel something today. So if he's messy – What does that make you feel like?
Not respecting a woman. We're three women.
Not respecting you.
Yeah, well, we're three women, my two daughters.
Yeah, you see, this is very, very interesting. This is your great.
Did he move down
this is,
the basement?
Hold on. This is why I had you. This is why I had you call back.
Okay.
Because what you do is you globalize. You say it's you globalize. This is like three people now. It's not just me. It's these.
Well, because we're living all together.
Oh, okay. I understand. Mm-hmm. Hey, I know what it's like to live with 15 people.
Well, my daughter. Yeah, I have this great honor for women. I feel they need to be respected.
How about for yourself?
Right, of course, for myself.
Well, let's
now
start
I have
with
two
you.
Women I brought into the world. Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we know they're doing terrifically in spite of these messy men that you've always attracted.
Well, my husband is their father.
Okay. So feeling is that you feel disrespected. So what happens to you when you feel disrespected? What?
Oh, my God. I just get so angry because I just feel so belittled and I go into a depression and an anxiety because I feel like I'm all alone in this world and I don't have a partner.
Now you're with me. Now you're with me.
I don't have the partner that exercises, that eats healthy, and I'm the bad person.
So he's messy.
Yeah.
So he's not just messy.
This is what he does to me.
Now, okay, you're doing great. You're doing terrific. You get depressed when you think about you know, this feeling, he's messy and he just doesn't listen to me or whatever, and I get depressed and I get angry. Then what, if you're going with those feelings, anger and depression, what thought could you have?
What thought?
Yeah, what thought comes up?
Oh, that it would be great to have a partner like myself. You know what? I even found out blood types. The E for your blood types. I said to my daughter, doctors, before you take on a bow, ask him what his blood type. He should be the same blood type as you.
Right.
You could eat the same.
Janine, I tell you, you should run a country. The way you have solutions for yourself, I think it's great. It's
and this is without medication. And he fights me. He wants me on medication.
Right. No, this is terrific. So, but again,
bipolar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you do is you say, oh, it would be great if I found somebody like myself. But I'm asking you
you know, someone who has the same beliefs. You know what I mean?
I do.
Not like myself. Beliefs. There's only one of a kind, me.
Right. So when you're disrespected and you get angry and depressed, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you the thought. The thought is that I don't deserve somebody who's going to be clean and neat.
Mm-hmm.
How about that idea for a second? I don't deserve...
That I'm going to find somebody?
No.
No.
That what goes with the anger and the depression. Because when you're depressed, you don't say, oh, I wish I found somebody who had my beliefs. You're depressed. Yeah. You don't come up with thoughts like that. You're in this depression. You're in this...
I can't even think.
Yeah.
You don't even want to know what happened.
Right. So you're feeling thoroughly.
Everything shuts down.
And so what I'm saying is that what goes with this feeling is a thought. And I'm going to say for you, because I know that you're all charged up, that the thought is, I must deserve this. I must deserve a messy man. I must deserve somebody like this in my life. So just hang out with that. Just hang out with that. Because
why would I?
Yeah, yeah.
Because my father was clean. My brothers are immaculate. Mm-hmm. They clean for their wives. Why would I feel that I deserve that?
Yeah, because when you're sad and when you're depressed and you're angry and
accepting it for 35 years.
Yeah,
is that it?
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
No, I'll tell you the truth. I stayed because of my two girls.
So that now we're getting to the reaction.
But that's why I stayed, because my mother left. I was 8 months old, and I said I never want my girls to be without their father.
Yeah.
He's a great father.
So your reaction to his behavior of being messy was I'm gonna live for my daughters. I'm not going to live for love. I'm not going to live for intimacy.
No, I did it for my daughters.
I did it for my daughters. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, and now my daughters are on their own, and Janine's all alone, 56.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the basement. I told you, my 25 rents downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
My 30-year-old is trying to get out of this apartment with me. You know, she wants to be on her own, have her own relationship. And this is where we're at.
Janine,
I'm
glad you called us back. We have another call. I want you to continue listening, because you're going to find out what's in the sixth column. Do you have a guess what's in the sixth column, by the way?
Oh, no, because I wasn't able to hear that. So what was it again?
Okay, so it's frustration, the feeling,
right?
The thought, the reaction, fear.
The fear.
And I want you to listen for somebody who's going to guess the last column.
So the sixth one we're trying to get.
That's right. So hang on. Okay. Just listen. Stay tuned. And somebody's going to figure it out. Okay? Thanks.
Reaction.
Thanks for calling. Okay. I'm glad you called back today.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too. Be well.
Thanks, Janine.
Yeah. So you see that, you know? I mean, we have these mechanisms. She is in a marriage. She's 30 years. She's reacted this way. That I'm not worthy. I don't deserve a man who's clean, neat, organized, who's going to do what I want him to do. I'm going to live with my daughters now. What a tragedy. You know, what a sad thing. And that's what we do with sadness. When we can't figure a way out of our sadness, out of our depression, out of the pain, we come up with like a magical solution. I'll live with my daughters. I'll find beauty in the world through my daughters.
Let's hear from John. John, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? This is Jonathan from the Bronx. How you feeling?
Good to have you back, Jonathan. So what frustrates you about your partners?
Well, I was sharing with the young lady on the phone that I was waiting to come on. I realized that throughout my life, with the partners that I've had in my past, in my younger years, I recognized the common theme in that I would end up feeling, if not disregarded, I would be unappreciated or dismissed.
Mm. You felt like a low priority?
Exactly. Within my relationships. And so we're really talking about developing invisibility syndrome.
Yes, there you go.
You see? And so...
Your reaction...
Yes.
Your reaction, Jonathan, was to stay invisible.
Well, that when I was made to feel invisible mm-hmm. behind the behaviors of being either dismissed or not considered, there was hurt, there was pain, there was anger.
Yeah.
You know, there was a belief subconsciously that I was unworthy.
That's a great word that you use there, a very important word as well, unworthy, because I think, Jonathan, what happens is for many of us, we allow the insecurity to settle in, and we believe it, right? We create a story about ourselves that we're not worthy, we're unworthy, as you said, and then we believe it, and then we actually unconsciously seeking out these situations where people will make us a low priority, as you said,
mm-hmm.
and that reaffirms the story that we tell ourselves that we are unworthy. So it becomes a cycle.
Mm-hmm. And so we repeat this counterproductive self-defeating narrative of self-talk that just perpetuates the cycle.
Let me ask you this, Jonathan. Before we go, and before I ask you, what do you think belongs in the sixth column? But what if it's true? What would be your fear if you felt like I deserve this?
Well, my fear, if the question has to be what my fear would be, mm-hmm. my fear would be that I would not have the healthy esteem and healthy ego necessary to turn my weakness into a strength. My fear would be that I would be paralyzed by my fear as opposed to have the wherewithal to face that fear head on and deal with it accordingly.
Jonathan, you're great. We're glad you called us again today. What do you? That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. You'd be paralyzed, and then nobody would love you. Is that right?
The truth is that because ultimately you're talking about an inability to love yourself.
Yeah, well, I know you called us last week about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when a person has an inability for whatever reasons to love themselves, they are therefore incapable, if not faced with severe difficulties to receive love from others.
Yeah, there you go.
And so we're really talking about self-love.
Right.
You know? And so I had recognized that my choices, we were talking about attractions earlier in the show,
mm-hmm.
I realized the common thread that I was attracted to people, partners who were needy, who were emotionally dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And it took me time and experience and lumps and bumps and psycho-emotional lacerations and bruises to realize that my choices, my attractions, were in actuality stemming from my own low and wounded ego and self-esteem.
Jonathan, we appreciate your call. We're going to take another call. Ken, just before you go, did you guess the sixth column?
I would say that the sixth column would be self-actualization.
Nice guess. Not the answer, but it's a good try, and we will get back to you. Stay tuned, and we'll get to the answer in the second half of the show. Thanks for calling, John.
Thank you so much.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call. You're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM.
He's got it all down.
Jonathan is a great caller. Every time he calls us, I mean, he knows his stuff. He knows he has really done the work. You can hear he has that self-awareness, and it's an inspiration.
And he's trying to inspire everybody to get in touch with loving themselves first, not expecting to receive love from the outside if you haven't done the work to get the self-love first. So he has a repeated theme here, and I love it. I think it's great because receiving love feels so good that people like jump over this idea that I have to love myself first. They often think like if I love somebody, then they'll love me and then I'll get to love myself. I don't want to do the work of having to love myself first.
Got
to
be careful with that.
Got to be very careful with that. So, yeah, Yeah. So this is exciting for us today. We talked yesterday about familiarity. We've been talking about appearance. We've been talking about the unconscious and even the idea of addiction today. The idea is that if you do not get beyond your reaction, and if you let your reaction control your behavior after this kind of insult where you're not worthy, then you can end up with an addiction.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call. We're going to take a short musical break and be back with more of your phone calls. We're talking about the unconscious nature of attraction and the frustrations that you may feel with your partner. Important stuff. Give us a call again at 212-757-5555. We'll be back after this.
De andar com ar tão debochado, me deixou a ver estrelas no meio da rua em plena luz do dia, e tanta gente percebeu meu embaraço, mas tanto faz, pois com você eu nem disfarço, fico mesmo abobalhado alimentando minhas fantasias. Tenho a dizer pra você, olha aí, tome cuidado pra não me deixar doente, pois sem a tua proteção eu fico carente. Me desligo desse mundo, faço bico, bato o pé e abro um berreiro, e só sossego quando te tenho a meu lado. Aí que me chamem de maluco, essas coisas, pois quando você passa eu me transformo inteiro. O que que eu posso fazer se você é tão assim? Olha aí, você dançando de noite, ofuscando o luar. Olha aí, você cantando contente à beira do mar. Olha aí, você passando e o povo virando pra olhar. Olha aí, você me cala e eu só posso dizer olha aí. Olha aí, olha aí, tome cuidado pra não me deixar doente, não, pois sem a tua proteção eu fico carente, nega. Me desligo desse mundo, faço bico, bato o pé e abro um berreiro, e só sossego quando te tenho a meu lado. Que me chamem de maluco, doido e mimado. Eu já não ligo pra essas coisas, pois quando você passa eu me transformo inteiro. Nega, o que que eu posso fazer se você é tão assim? Olha aí, você dançando de noite, ofuscando o luar. Olha aí, você cantando contente à beira do mar. Olha aí, você passando e o olhar, olha aí, você me cala e eu só posso dizer, olha aí, é, olha aí.
Jarzinho Oliveira, olha aí, here on the Positive Mind, 99.5 FM, WBAI. We love playing this Brazilian music and just sharing all the different kinds of flavors and sounds, and it's just...
Makes you feel good.
That made me feel good, Kevin. Yeah. Made me feel good. So you are listening to The Positive Mind. Let's just go over this exercise that we've been doing, just to clarify and to explain. We asked you to take out a piece of paper and something to write with, so whether you're at your office or at home, We asked you to grab a pen and pad, piece of paper, and make six columns, right? And the first one is titled frustration.
Right.
Now, what goes in the frustration column is what is it that your partner's doing that is frustrating you?
Right.
So that is the input. That is the
that's what we're working off of,
right?
Yeah.
The next column is feelings. So what is the feelings that this frustration causes you?
Yep.
Maybe it makes you angry.
Mad, sad, glad, angry, anxious,
yeah,
depressed.
Okay. The next column, the third column, is thoughts. Mm-hmm. So what are the thoughts that these feelings are causing you to think?
Yeah.
The column after thoughts is reaction. So how are you reacting?
What do you do
right, to
cope with this thought?
What are your actions that the thoughts are inspiring?
Yeah. So if you have the thought that... you know, I'm not worthy of being somebody being on time for me. Your reaction might be to, you know, turn on the TV and watch TV for 6 hours, or to go out to the bar and have a drink or more drinks, or go in your car and race your car. These are kinds of behaviors that we do to respond to this really dark thought in order to get rid of that thought. And, you know, it often works. Sometimes people behave, you know, the reactions that they have gets rid of that thought. So they never get to the fear. And so, for instance, if somebody is late, you feel disrespected. And then your fear is that I'm going to be abandoned. We have a caller.
Yeah, let's hear from Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hello.
Hey, Jill.
Thanks for calling us today.
Hi. I actually tried to get through yesterday because the topic
we missed
is...
You. Great.
Yes, it was probably more on topic, but then you mentioned the unconscious nature of attachment is the topic. And what I realized about my attachments is that they all have a similar birthday, same birth sign. I do get into astrology.
Oh, boy.
As an abusive caretaker.
Wow. Isn't that interesting?
Everybody is within like less than 2 weeks' birthday.
Is that right? That's so interesting. Okay,
it's
and so the
kind of creepy, but interesting. Sure.
So it's creepy, but it must also not feel good. I mean, you feel. Say it again. You feel abused.
This caretaker. I don't want to give off too much of my identity, but this caretaker was a parent.
Uh huh.
Not my natural parent.
Right.
And it was very abusive. Emotionally, psychologically, mm-hmm. and physically. Physically is probably the least of it.
Okay.
And as an adult now, with some help, psychological help myself, I realized that person, and, you know, I didn't know any better but to internalize mm-hmm. it, and it was mm-hmm.
Right.
It was a family dynamic.
Yeah. So going going forward in your relationships, you know what you're drawn to. So are you careful now? Are you on guard?
Well, that's another thing about the attraction. I'm not necessarily, in the beginning, I wasn't attracted to these people.
Okay.
They came to me. These were always people I already knew,
okay.
was friends with, and I didn't consider them that way. I get a lot of male attention. I guess perhaps I must be like attractive or something. I've been told that.
Okay.
You know, I feel I'm a work in progress.
Sure.
But anyway, I get
but
a lot
somehow,
of attention.
Somehow, you somehow something gets hooked in you that you find yourself with the same frustration every time. Something, even though they're coming towards you, because you're the attractive person, they're the one that they're coming to you. You somehow subconsciously, unconsciously get hooked into them.
Yeah.
Based on this abusive caretaking that you were familiar with. There you go.
Now that you say it, I mean, it doesn't start off that way.
It starts off roses and perfume and all the nice balloons and everything, right, Jill? And then slowly it comes out. So there you have it. So you're a great example for us. But I want to ask you, what's your fear?
My fear is that I won't ever get out of the cycle.
Yeah.
It's very hard to realize this, and I have children, and for, you know,
you won't find
so many
a,
years
you,
on
you,
now.
You really won't find the partner that you deserve.
Yeah, and just finally be able to just be me, you know, the awkward, strange, special, unique, and I guess, beautiful me.
I got you.
But, you know, I feel very like a butterfly that never gets out of the cocoon.
Yes.
I've been a butterfly for a long time.
Yeah. Well, the awareness is the start, and it sounds like you're on your way. You're bringing out in me, I'm going to give the answer, Ben. I'm going to give the answer for the sixth column.
Oh, can I guess before you do
it? Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Is it the action plan, the counterbalance, the next step, how to fix it?
There you go. You got it. But, in the research, the word is called desire. What do I really want? Desire. So, but trying to fix it, right? Like, I think actually desire is a little deeper than trying to fix it, because you've been trying to fix this all your life.
Yes.
So what you really need to get in touch with is, what do I really desire? What do I really want? Not to fix this, but what do I really want? And know that abusive caretakers are not going to get it for you.
Well, yeah.
Jill, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. Nice to hear from Jill. She's
nice
a first-time caller. We've never heard from her.
Yeah, but she got it. She got it, you know. So the chance is that if you get beyond the fear, and you welcome the fear, you accept the fear, and the fear is painful because, yes, when somebody is late all the time, it's sending a bigger message, Ben, than just like, my life is complicated and I'm late everywhere I go. No. They're communicating something to you by their lateness. And we internalize it and we say, it has to be me. And I don't deserve to be loved. And then the fear comes that I'll always be alone, that I'll never find somebody. If you don't get to the fear and that I've been abandoned and will stay abandoned, then you'll never get to using the lessons that we're offering to you today.
Let's really
make the connection.
Let's take one more quick call,
work.
Kevin. We have Joe on the line. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi guys.
Hey, Joe. Did you call yesterday?
I called when you were talking about why you wear different colored clothes.
There you
and
go.
I thought
I knew your voice. Go ahead.
I think one of the final reasons I didn't get to hear what you guys just said because my radio's off. But one of the main and final reasons is fear, box number six, is nobody wants to be alone, and you have an unconscious fear of that.
Yeah. Have you been alone?
And that is driven. What's that?
Have you been alone and felt what it was like to be alone?
Oh, maybe years ago, but my brain's way straightened out since then.
How is the feeling of being alone?
Well, it's a very empty feeling. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
It's an empty feeling. It's a feeling of abandonment.
Yeah.
And then you hide further and further. It's easier to hide than to face the fact that you're alone.
Yeah. So there's the reaction, and you're making a really good point. Nobody wants to feel alone, and so when you have that real thorough empty feeling, there's nothing worse in the world. You end up hiding. Your reaction is to go hide, which makes connecting with somebody even more difficult.
Right. And that feeds depression. But you have to get to the underlying cause in the first place, which for the most part is typically a low self-esteem, driven by, for whatever reason, you have that fantasy low self-esteem.
So tell me about your relationships now. I mean, did you find a relationship just to get over the aloneness, or did you find somebody to love?
That's a great question, and here is what it is. You have to have criteria before you go into a relationship. You have to know exactly what you want and exactly what you don't want. But before you have that criteria, you must be peaceful with yourself. This way you get into a relationship, you'll know immediately what's bad. Because if you take a look at all these people in these bad relationships, the writing is always on the wall, and you know that.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. That's great advice. We're going to take you off the air and take another call, but I think you're right with that.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thank you. It's good to be armed. It's good to be armed, and because that's what we're trying to help people do. Become armed. Get conscious. Yes, know that I do not want to be with an abusive caretaker, and get conscious. Now I'm going to be on the lookout for people that are going to be abusive to me. I might be attracting them. I don't know what the story is, why I'm attracting them, but I am. And now I want to stop that.
Let's hear from Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, here's something that really is, like, unattractive. It's not somebody who has an opinion, but somebody just always expresses their opinion. Somebody who always gives advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have somebody in your life like that?
Oh, the love of my life is like that.
So the very thing that you're frustrated by, you live with.
Yes.
On a daily basis. That's terrific. That's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you're enjoying it. You're enjoying it.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy so many other things about her, and I do not. And I'm not trying to correct you. But it's just a small example. What are you doing? I'm listening to some music. What music? What are you listening to? The Beatles. Oh, they're a boy band. Oh, they're not good. They ripped everything off of black artists.
Yeah.
And it's opinion on top of opinion. I know this is music and it's kind of silly.
Did you have somebody else in your life? You have somebody else in your life when you were young who kind of interrupted your pleasures in life?
My mother wasn't that bad.
Okay, good.
Everybody with their mother. But,
sure. No, it could be anybody. It could be an aunt.
My mother's father said some remarks sometimes, but they didn't. They really wanted, but it's like, why rain on my parade?
Good. Yeah. So they left room for you to expand.
Yeah, and yet this person is the most generous, it's just a great person.
Wow.
But yet, it's like just another example. We go to a friend of a friend who I've met twice, and just, they're not that warm of a person. They're not this, they're not that, and all this thing about them. And I have no opinion on them whatsoever, good or bad.
Wow.
I go, they never bothered me.
Does she need you? Does she need you to validate and confirm for her all the time?
No.
She doesn't.
No.
And yeah, she's giving you opinions and judgments that she wants you to go along with.
Yeah, I don't even know necessarily if she wants me to go along with it. I think sometimes she just, she knows I feel, we've talked about it before, I feel a certain way. But she'll say things like, we're the same. And I go, most things.
Yeah, right. Smart man. You're a smart man. Well, it sounds like you have a great relationship. My only question was going to be, does it ever really bother you where you just have a reaction that, you go and do something with your anger or something?
Yes, I just get angry. I just say, I quiz her. I say, name me some black artists that they ripped off.
Yeah.
And when she doesn't name any, I just say, if you were right, you would have just named three or four off the cup. And I go, can you name this? I play lawyer.
Right. So I'm just going to say we're going to take you off the air, but if you ever want to take this further, just follow that anger reaction to its core. Just follow it down, Mark.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
She's so good, though. I don't like to be angry at her.
I got it. No, it's not at her. It's angry at yourself. It's not at her. It's really not her.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Thanks for calling.
There you go. Be well.
Bye-bye. Terrific. 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. So what's my desire instead? I wonder if Mark has a desire behind the anger. It sounds like he manages it and it doesn't bother him too much. He's got so many other things that he appreciates about her. But it's just this one piece that he could go on a journey with her to fix and maybe make even more laughter in their relationship. So 212-757-5555. Desire is the last column, we were saying. So after your reaction, it's better to experience the fear, however bad it is, so that you can get to what you really want, which will fix it.
Let's hear from John. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hey, John. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. So I just want to make a comment on the nature of attraction or what I have found to be true in my searchings. And I'm a firm believer that what we see in others, what we seek in others, is what we see in ourselves, either good, bad, or indifferent. And what I work hard on or trying to work on is to create that space between my reaction and what either repulses me, angers me, or attracts me, so that I'm not, you know, so driven by the immediacy of what I come across. And I think that that's very true. I think so much of this life is reflective. It gives back to us what we put out or what we see or what have you. And also, I'm a strong proponent of being alone, not all the time, but you know yourself when you're in the quiet moments, the silent moments, and you can't kind of escape yourself, but be with yourself.
That's an excellent point, and I'm an advocate of that as well, a measured solitude, right? A solitude that is instructive and productive.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I very much enjoy your guys' show. I think that we need more of this in the world.
Thank you so much.
That's so nice of you. Well, we appreciate your calling and your listening and contributing.
Keep calling us back.
My pleasure. Will do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. 212-757-5555.
We're getting some really evolved people. People have, you know, gone beyond the reaction stage to experience the fear stage. And now they can go in life and get what they want. So many people cut themselves short, which is what Mark was saying, that people, or Joe was saying, that people just get to the point where they're doing the reacting and they don't get to the fear that's underlying it, so that they can't really get to what they want more of. And isn't it true, instead of like attracted to like, or wound attracted to wound, how about difference attracted to difference?
Okay. Let's
okay.
I like that. I like that.
You know, I mean, what we have a chance to do with intimate relationships is find somebody who is different and enjoy the differences. Because you talk about adding color to your life, Ben. You know, finding somebody who's not going to repeat the traps from before, who's not going to always be late and be on guard for people who are going to be abusive, and actually find somebody that is very different from you, but different in a positive way, they add such color to your life.
Yeah. That's a good point, Kevin. And I do think that it comes down to like attracts like. And as we heard from John, that good, bad, or indifferent, we do gravitate towards that which is present within ourselves.
Yeah.
Whether that's a certain trauma or characteristic or habit. Yeah. Like does
or
tend
bad
to.
Thoughts, negative yeah. thoughts, like, dark thoughts sure. about myself, or low self-esteem, or, you know, the whole package of negativity that is blocking me from finding the person and another person who can liberate me and make me feel great. 212-757-5555. We want to thank all of the callers today. We're able to take one more call.
Yeah, let's hear from Miriam. Hi, Miriam.
I'm Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
I'm good. I wanted to give some information. Two people ago, a guy said that when he got angry, he lawyered up.
Yes.
And
that was Mark.
Most of the time, he would lawyer up. I just went through 7 years of being the opposite on the other side of lawyering up.
Okay.
And I ended up getting polarization therapy.
No.
And it helped me a lot.
Okay. So what did it do for you? Say what it is and what it did for you.
Sure. It stages. So at first you're an observer. You observe the behavior.
Okay, got it.
Without reaction.
Got it.
And then integration. And these processes take a long time.
Of course, sure.
But it showed me not to engage in the lawyering up.
Yeah, I definitely see it. And, you know, in Gestalt therapy, have you heard of Gestalt, where you put the person or the issue in the chair across from you? And you objectify the problem, and you speak to the empty chair, that you get to observe yourself and your all your reactions to it, and all the thoughts that come with it so that you can suspend the behaviors so that you can get the insight not to do these things.
Right. We did a couple of sessions like that, and I had to sit in both chairs.
Oh, great. Terrific.
Yeah, so it was great. But obviously we didn't make it in this relationship, but I walk away with a lot of skills.
Well, thank you so much for the call. We have time to squeeze in one more caller.
Thanks,
so we
Miriam.
Want to see if we can get to one more caller.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
Lisa, right?
Yeah,
Lisa.
That was Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. We do have Miriam on the line. We're going to see if we can get her transferred in here in just a second. You have been listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. And just a quick, want to just say quickly, our thoughts right now are in Puerto Rico with everyone who's down there. There's a big storm happening, and we are with them, and we support the Puerto Rican community and what's going on over there because it's
second whammy.
It's scary stuff.
Yeah.
It is. And a lot of people are going to be affected by the weather down there right now. It's it's pretty intense. So you have been listening to The Positive Mind. We are here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m.
We're going to squeeze in Miriam or no?
I'm just waiting for our call screener to
transfer
it through.
There you go.
Hi, Miriam. You're on the line real quick. We're just about over with the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Very well.
So I heard the message from earlier or the conversation, and I'm one of those people who's always late.
Uh-huh.
And I don't do it to get anybody upset. I always feel like when people get upset, they're like too full of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get mad when other people are late.
Right, okay.
I understand fully.
I understand. I understand that it's not a conscious effort to hurt somebody, but when someone is late for you, you're telling us that you already don't necessarily value punctuality and being on time. So
no, I want to be on time. It's my life improvement goal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
I want to get better.
Yeah.
Right.
But
well, I guess since we are so short for time, I want to thank you for calling, Miriam, but I think it comes down to a matter of, you know, if people are upset that you're not on time, it's not necessarily that they're full of themselves. It's that they expect you to provide them the same respect that they want to extend to you. So I think, you know, it doesn't necessarily come out of a place of ego, but rather a place of mutual respect and expecting a reciprocity. So I want to thank you so much for calling us today, Miriam, and thank you for listening.
Sorry, we only had you briefly there, Miriam.
We're running right up against the end of the program, so thanks to everyone who tuned in today. We appreciate you, and we will be back Tuesday at 1 p.m. Stay tuned.
Distractions going on elsewhere.